This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
David Flynn is the editor of Australian Business Travel. He joins us regularly. Good morning, David. Hopefully we can hear you this week.
Good morning, David.
All systems go. Good morning, David. Morning.
Morning. First off, I wanted to... it's been in the news, certainly on your website and in some of the more mainstream news, the earning rates on credit cards for frequent flyer or reward points. As a result of the Reserve Bank's changes that come in on July 1, these earning rates have been chopped really, really heavily, haven't they?
Slashed. High is 85% fewer points per dollar.
And that's an extraordinary change. And to put that in perspective, Lisa, for example, in your billing period for your credit card, you might have previously, you might have earned half a point or 1 point per dollar or even 1.5 points per dollar. But you would earn it on a spend, and that spend might have been capped at $20,000 per statement period. What they've done is they've cut the earning rate, in some cases from 1.5 to 1 points or less, but also the amount you can earn it on, in one case, National Bank, for example, from $20,000 per statement period to
$5,000.
So you look at the points, the amount of points you earn and the amount you can earn them on, as David said, it's about 85% cut. Now, that's going to make it
high.
It can be that high. That's going to make a big difference to how people choose their cards. And bear in mind, as David will tell us, not everyone factors this into their decision. But for a significant portion of the market, it is a factor, isn't it, David?
It is. There are a lot of people. I mean, Australians love their frequent flyer points. You've only got to look back to what happened when Woolworths decided to drop Qantas as they parked. So they could earn points at the checkout. The backlash they received was extraordinary. Qantas very quickly did an Olympics-grade backflip and put Qantas points back on the menu. Aussies love their points, and an increasing number of Australians look at credit cards as a way of earning frequent flyer points just in their everyday spend on their bills. People who run their business pretty much with their credit card and earn a lot of points through the business. And so this point apocalypse, we're seeing so many fewer points being offered across all the big four banks, is making a lot of people reconsider the cards they have in their wallet and think, should I change? Should I change to a card which has got more points per dollar, which has got more perks such as insurance, which is better to me?
Now, obviously the thing is, it's only if one is if you know, in all these things, you've got to have the capacity to accrue the points and to generate that amount of spending. But for everyone, it's a case of if you use these cards for your everyday spending, and I mean, you know, your coffee in the morning, Lisa, you know, your couple of newspapers, you know, it generates ultimately, depending on how much you spend, it might just be a free flight to Sydney once a year, or it might be more than that. So this actually has an impact, and the banks are blaming the RBA, but what they've done here is American Express, for example, is exempt from this because they're not a bank. So American Express, so the interchange rate, the commission rate, which the RBA has arbitrarily set a limit, doesn't apply to American Express. So what it's going to do, would it be right to say, David, that there'll probably be a bit of an exodus to American Express?
Yes, in fact, we've even seen one bank. We even saw the ANZ drop American Express from its credit card portfolio completely. The others have adjusted their rates, pushed them down. So the banks, the thing is, there's a merchant fee associated with American Express. The American Express, if the banks use any credit card, they can now make less money on the interchange, which means they've got less money to offer for points. And so the banks are damping down the number of points you earn on a bank-issued Amex card, boosting some on their MasterCard Visa cards, not a lot, whereas Amex, not being a bank, is exempt. So Amex is going to do pretty well at this. The other interesting one we're seeing was just announced this week, Qantas will be issuing its own credit card, which it's never had in the past. It's always had partner credit cards with the banks, with David Jones. Qantas will issue its own Qantas Rewards Platinum card. It'll be a MasterCard, but Qantas is going to hit the market. We don't have the details. That will come out when it's launched at the end of next month, but we're expecting big sign-up bonuses. I would expect over 100,000 point sign-up bonuses. We're expecting very generous earning rates on domestic and especially overseas spending. Qantas has said there'll be discounts on flight and lounge access, say Qantas Club membership. So, you know, Qantas is looking to clean up in this opportunity as well. When people are thinking, I'm not sure about my current credit card commitment, what should I do? Qantas is going to be the disruptor in this by saying we have our own card that's better than the banks.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And
Virgin already... They've already had a credit card.
There is
but
again, it's a co-brand.
Right.
It's a co-branded card. Virgin Money is actually Citibank, isn't it, David? Is it Citi?
Yeah, Citibank do a lot of co-branding and white label cards. They're also behind Virgin. Also has a Velocity card, which is a brand card, and Cathay Pacific in Hong Kong launched their own card last month. And so, airlines are starting to see that if they have their own card with a bank as the back end, Citibank and the Qantas, for example, they can have a lot more control over the number of points they issue, and of course get a cut of action. So it's a very big contributor to the airline's bottom line.
And it's important to understand, Lisa, the Qantas frequent flyer scheme and the Virgin Velocity scheme combined this year will make about $1 billion profit.
Excellent.
It's huge. There are instances of airlines earning more money.
I want more service now
than flying.
Yeah. It's, you know, they do. They make in some cases more money out of that than they do flying. Let's just change tack a little bit, David. A lot of people are travelling to different destinations for a whole range of different reasons. I know Lisa is really would love to go to the Biennale in Venice. But what is going to be, what's the best way, in your opinion, if you're going to an event overseas, doesn't matter what it is, it could be a triathlon, could be anything.
Oh, no, it has to be an art fair.
Oh, it has to be, okay, it has to be.
It's got to be a Biennale. You know, we've got the Venice Biennale about to go on, and we're represented by Tracy Moffat at that this year, and then Documenta has just opened, and that's an exhibition that happens every 5 years. It's usually in Kassel in Germany, and now they're doing a piece in Athens as a political push to have people look at Athens differently. Yep. Many people, of course, are saying it's just a form of colonialism on behalf of Germany, which might be so. They do it well. and so those kind of events, it's almost like a trail. So the way that the travel industry approaches those, do they put together really good packages to get people to those events?
I wish there was more of that. What I like is that you've mentioned a couple of events outside the Venice Biennale, which are held in destinations which may or may not be heavily favoured by tourists,
exactly.
But they wouldn't be top-line events, like, you know, your F1s or so forth. And so it will be easier to get to those events because usually for a big event, airfares can go up, hotel certainly goes up, which is why Airbnb can be a good alternative, especially if you want to stay safe for a week or two. But if it's going to somewhere which is not one of the big top-line red flag events, you'll probably find it a lot easier to get the airfares and to get the hotel. But there are companies that specialise in events travel, and most decent travel agents help put together a good itinerary. But a lot of people probably want to do it themselves, especially flying all the way from Australia over to, say, Germany or Athens. You know, spend some time at the event and then get outside the city, or they might want to check their own hotel rather than do a package. I think the main thing is book early. Get in early to get your good airfares, especially if you want to do it business class. And if you want to use frequent flyer points, get in earlier. Mm. The earlier, the better. You know, do your planning, choose your hotels, look at Airbnb as an alternative. Again, for anything more than a couple of days, you can get some great places on Airbnb.
It's true. I've in fact just come back from 2 months in Europe, where I did a range of festivals across Spain, music festivals, a religious festival, a fire festival, and it was a combination there was another festival too, there was an art festival. There was a combination of Airbnb, which are great because then you can do the washing that you can't afford to have done in the hotel. And all of those kind of little things, and it gave you a different look at different cities. But looking at these events, the Fire Festival in particular in Valencia is astounding. And it's how you put all those little moments together. And I sometimes wonder if we're kind of behind the eight ball. Like in Australia, you can't get your luggage sent from the railhead onto your hotel so you can go directly to the festival. There are all those kind of little things that travel people know about that we need. What's your kind of opinion on Australian travel in the view of what you can get when you go elsewhere?
Well, yeah, there are certainly instances. I mean, I've been going to, say, Hong Kong. They've got the in-town check-in. So you go to the Airport Express Railway Station in central Kowloon, check your bags into the flight at the railway station.
Now, can we do that here? Can we do that at Southern Cross?
No, can't. We don't have a decent express rail system at all. But there are lots of little things like that where when you travel a lot, you think, oh, this makes life so much more convenient to be able to check out of the hotel, drop your luggage at the airport, express station in the city, for example, and then have a whole day just walking around with your hand luggage. Mm-hmm. And there are, in Europe generally, especially with trains are so much more central to the travel experience, and they have much better vision and understanding of how to make it work for passengers.
We're hoping V-Line's going to do that.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath. I mean, certainly in Frankfurt, you know, the train station is part of the airport and...
Right, at the airport. I'll be in Frankfurt next week and I'm looking forward to doing that. In fact, some people have said Frankfurt's a smidge boring. They're giving me recommendations of some other cities, villages that are maybe an hour away.
Frankfurt has some wonderful gay bars, and lesbian bars, I've got to tell you.
And restaurants and the area surrounding Frankfurt has a lot to offer, and of course, being German, it's all very organised, which is good.
And there's that apple drink you have to drink.
Oh, yes, yes. What's it called? I'm just trying
I
to
can't remember what it's called. Yeah. I guarantee you can spend the whole night on it and never get a hangover.
Yeah, there you go, David.
Oh, really? I look forward to trying that because they say the same thing in Japan. So I will put that to the test and I'll come back and report.
Great.
Excellent.
We've run out of time again, David, but thanks again for your time. And look, you have a good trip. And next time we speak to you, you can give us your feedback on the train station and everything at Frankfurt Airport.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.